The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Since Israel's war in Gaza began almost 2 years ago, over 18,000 children have been killed. And if you want to try and get a sense of what that means, it equates to more than a classroom full of children killed every single day. Along with the lives lost, the education system itself for those children has been virtually obliterated. Last June, Navi Pillay, chair of the UN Independent International Commission of Inquiry on the Occupied Palestinian Territory, delivered a report on the destruction of educational facilities.
As Israeli security forces killed thousands of children, they also obliterated the education system in Gaza. More than 90% of schools and university buildings in Gaza have been damaged or destroyed, creating conditions where education for children has been made impossible. With the loss of education, Palestinians are also losing their source of stability, of hope, and of a possibility for the future. Israeli airstrikes have targeted educational facilities believed to be safe refuge areas, killing the displaced, including children and women, and deliberately shelled, burned, and demolished schools and universities. The Commission could not identify any military necessity which justifies such actions, and we conclude that these actions show an intent to destroy these facilities in order to curtail Palestinians' access to education in the long term.
But remarkably, some education is able to continue thanks to teachers in the West Bank providing remote lessons to those inside the Gaza Strip. Naturally, life in the West Bank has been hugely impacted by the ongoing war in Gaza. Irish Times correspondent Sally Hayden has just returned from spending a few weeks there and joins us now. Sally, good morning.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Now, first of all, we know the West Bank is not a happy place either for Palestinians. I mean, we have the settlers in action there, and we have repression of children. There are children who've been locked up summarily by the Israeli forces. So it's not to say that the West Bank is really in any way an ideal base from which to try to educate children in Gaza.
No, absolutely not. I mean, what's happening in the West Bank is obviously military occupation. And yeah, like children are also being killed, like you said, being locked up as well. And at the same stage, so the West Bank and Gaza are both kind of areas that many people hope would have made up a future Palestinian state. And traveling through the West Bank, I mean, it's hard to even convey like the kind of pain of Palestinians there watching what's happening in Gaza and also not being able to feel like they can, you know, help or do anything in a huge sense. And many, many Palestinians I met kept saying this, you know, some were even on hunger strike in solidarity. And I did come across these teachers who are making this effort to try and provide education to students in Gaza as kind of a thing that they feel that they can at least try to do.
Mm. Now, the figures are quite stark. Before the events of October the 7th, there were 625,000 students in Gaza. There were 22,000 teachers attending 815 schools in 564 school buildings right across Gaza. But the UN Human Rights Council found that Israel had used airstrikes, burning and controlled demolitions to damage and destroy more than 90% of the school and university buildings in Gaza. That was back in June, and I'm sure the figures are even worse now. And the council decided that it's reasonable to ask if there's an intentional effort to comprehensively destroy the Palestinian education system in an action known as scholasticide, saying when schools are destroyed, so too our hopes and dreams.
Yeah, I mean, and the council even said that they had found evidence of Israeli soldiers recording and distributing videos in which they mocked Palestinians and Palestinian education before destroying schools and universities. So, again, that indicates that this has been very deliberate.
Now, tell me about those teachers who are trying to help educate the children in Gaza. I mean, it is extraordinary on one level that they might be able to attend a Zoom class using the internet and yet they may have no food. I mean, it's just bizarre.
Yeah, I mean, and it's really important to say, like, this is, you know, a tiny percentage of Gazan students who even have the ability to try and access this. So this is not, you know, a happy story of, you know, of this continuing. It's just a small effort being made. I spoke to two teachers who are in the West Bank, and one's called Ada El Sayed Ahmed, and one's called Suher Abu Arkoub. Ada is a physics teacher, and Suher is an English teacher. And I also spoke to Dr. Salem Abu Misla, who's inside Gaza. And the two teachers who are in the West Bank, I mean, one of them, Ada, first started talking to students, Gazan students who had left Gaza, so they managed to get out. But they also were desperate to learn, and they started contacting her online. And she said, you know, she gathered them all together in a WhatsApp group and said, I'll teach you a physics class, you know, I'll teach you your final year physics, basically, as fast as I can. And she organized these, because she also has a staff job, you know, in the West Bank, in a secondary school. So she said, I'll teach you the entire year in 25 days, and we'll just do a really intensive course for 25 days. And she's done this three times just on her own bat, you know, arranging it herself online. But first, while it was Gazan students outside Gaza, then she became involved in talking to Gazan students inside Gaza, and also became involved with a Palestinian Authority initiative to teach what they were calling virtual schools. And that's what Suher was involved with too. So they started doing classes for hundreds of students who would log in, but you know, a few times a week. But of course, the internet is sometimes impossible, sometimes very difficult to get. The connection can be bad. So they also gathered them together in WhatsApp groups so they could talk to each other. And, you know, if someone can't log in, they recorded the classes. They found made every effort to try and make this available, you know, that you have a Facebook page. But yeah, they said the horrible thing is sometimes they can access internet, but not food. So they're teaching starving students, you know, people who can't focus, students who can't focus, students who are being bombed around them. But it's an effort, but obviously it's not, you know, enough.
So, I mean, it's a valiant effort by those teachers who are trying to continue with this, but it does depend on the internet being there. It depends on a device being powered up and so on in Gaza, and that is becoming more and more difficult. Turning back to the West Bank and what's going on there in terms of children who are detained, summarily detained, sometimes tried, and sometimes sentenced to incredibly long sentences for what would be regarded as a minor kind of civil disobedience.
Yeah, so I also reported on this, and both these stories are in the Irish Times, by the way, if people want to read more. I met two teenagers who had been in Israeli detention within the past year, and both were arrested, I think. One was 16, one was 17, but I think they were both arrested last year. And the conditions that they were held in were really horrible. And it's obviously important to note that the West Bank, you know, it's separate to what's happening in Gaza. It's not controlled by Hamas. This, you know, this is an ongoing, also what people say is maybe a slightly slower war, but there's also a crisis happening there. Data released by the Palestinian Prisoners' Rights Organizations in April said at least 1,200 children were detained in the West Bank in the 18 months after October 7, 2023. And about 200 Palestinian children in the West Bank have been killed by Israeli forces in the same period. And the two teenagers I spoke to, I was interviewing them with an organization, and part of their kind of way that they care for teenagers who have been through detention, they don't explicitly ask what they were accused of or what they were guilty of, but they did tell me the vast, vast majority are accused of throwing stones. And they're locked up for that.
Well, certainly it is a distressing account you give, and people, as you say, can read more about all of this in the Irish Times. Sally Hayden, thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.